Dan Herbert at the microphone right now. Let's listen in.
Trial team, Randy Brueker and Tammy Wendt and Liz Fleming, who is not here today, but I thank them for putting up with me. I've been a pain in the butt, and we worked our rear ends off. And I know the question for all of you is, how do we feel about the verdict? Well, and I just talked to Jason about this. In this climate and with this case, I told Jason Van Dyke, I said, you just went into a heavyweight boxing match against Mike Tyson, and you went in there with both your hands tied behind your back, and you're still standing. You're still standing. So we don't believe that the evidence supported the conviction, but at the end of the day, with the Cook County jury and with the pressure that we had in this case, I mean, we started this case 50 yards behind the starting line. So we're extremely pleased that Jason Van Dyke and his family, they had their life back. We're looking at very dire circumstances. So that being said, although I think that there's some really good things for Jason Van Dyke compared to what he's looking at, it really is kind of a sad day for law enforcement, I think, because we've all heard about the Ferguson effect, and I can only imagine that if police officers think that they can never fire against somebody that is acting the way Laquan McDonald did when they're 12 feet away from them, I think that what we are going to have is police officers are going to become security guards. There will not be a police officer getting out of a car to confront somebody. And maybe that's what everyone wants. I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. But with that, I want to thank actually the press. You guys have been really good to us and let us do our job. So other than that, thanks, guys. Have a nice weekend.
Can you tell us how Jason and his family are feeling? Actually, you said you just spoke.
Yeah, they have their life back. So they were looking at this was a death sentence. So there's a sense of relief. There really is. And, you know, it was an emotional moment with him and his family. And all I can say is that guy is the toughest man I have ever met in my life. For him to go through what he's gone through, I've told him throughout this case, I'm so proud of him. And I am humbled by the strength that man had. Because I think that 99.9% of anyone else that was in that situation would have crumbled, and he didn't do that. He took on the press, he took on politicians, he took on community groups, he took on state government, two state governments, the federal government, and guess what? He's standing. So he's a tough man.
He has an insight into his mentality throughout this entire trial.
Professional. He knew the stakes here. He knew the climate. You know, we're certainly going to revisit the issue of the change of venue, but we knew coming into it with a Cook County venue, in this case, with the Cook County jury, there was not a chance in the world we were going to come away with the complete not guilty. For all the reasons that I expressed in our motions, it's simply impossible for a juror to go back to their neighborhood and be the one to say, yes, I found him not guilty of everything. So we knew coming in, this was going to be a guilty on something. Not a surprise to us. At the end of the day, yeah, we believe that we put on a great case, and we're proud of that. But we also recognize that we have to put on a great case, not necessarily to exonerate, but to get him off this ridiculous charge of first-degree murder.
Dan,
there are two more questions,
Dan,
guys.
Any second thoughts about putting Officer Van Dyke on the witness stand?
None. None.
Any second thoughts about putting Walsh perhaps?
Well, we didn't put Walsh. Joe Walsh completely exonerated Jason Van Dyke. So we are going to look at this verdict and see what our options are. But we firmly believe that Joe Walsh, in addition to the other evidence, but that was completely exonerating. So
minimum
on a ag bat, the 16 counts. it's the same as if he were convicted on one count. It would be 6 to 30. And then the second degree, they can't sentence for second degree and ag bats. They're going to have to make a decision on that. And then finally, with the official misconduct, we see that as an inconsistent verdict. If Jason Van Dyke was found guilty of not committing official misconduct, which is conduct which is in violation of the law, we don't think that the two verdicts can stand next to each other. So, as I told Jason, as I told his family, you know, we have a lot of legal challenges ahead of us, and I think that we're relieved that we're not looking at a death sentence, but. You know, we know that we can get this even better and perhaps throw everything out. So I'll take one more question and then I'll wrap it up.
A sacrificial lamb in all of this based on timing, the city, the climate of the nation. It wasn't him swearing to get for in the past. It's about what was going on everywhere else.
I think anyone that is familiar with this city and familiar with the criminal court system in Cook County knows beyond any doubt that he was an absolute sacrificial lamb. He was sacrificed by his leaders, by political leaders, by our supposed community leaders, and it was all for one reason, to save themselves and sacrifice Jason Van Dyke. So we said that from day one, and nothing has changed since.
And I just hope that has no ill effects on the Chicago Police Department. I just hope that this has no ill effects on the Chicago Police Department. Here was a police officer who reacted to a person with a knife, and he threatened a civilian. He walked away from another police car. He wouldn't stop. He wouldn't drop the knife. And Officer Van Dyke had to do something. And I just hope that this does not affect the Chicago Police Department in the future. Thank you.
Last question. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be rude, but we've had a long trial.
On the psychologist who talked about him thinking before he got out of the car, do you think that hurt your case?
It shouldn't have hurt our case because it was explained in a manner that showed that his threat level was going up. It didn't show it in a manner that he was some out-of-control police officer that was going out there to kill this person no matter what. It showed an individual who recognized an extremely significant threat, despite how the state argued it and how the radio traffic sounds somewhat innocuous or not as serious. The fact of the matter is, when somebody takes action against armed, uniformed police officers in a police car, that's a very dangerous threat. And again, speaking to Randy's point, from now on, when that happens, police officers likely will roll up their windows and wait until this individual gets tired or, God forbid, kill somebody before they even get out of the car. So that's a troubling factor. But thanks a lot, guys. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
You have been hearing from defense attorneys in the Jason Van Dyke case.